And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, along with Corey Sandin and Brandon Bono, doing a three-part deal here with just us. It's open phones, open text, and we're wishing a big hello. I know Rock God Rick's listening, along with Dallas and the new babies, the new baby that was born on Tuesday. Congratulations.
So amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and got to hear Rick call in yesterday while I was listening on the app in Michigan there, and that was so cool to hear him talking about the excitement in his voice and that he and Dallas are sharing that. So,
pretty special.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations to them, and now Wyatt has a little brother.
I know. How cool
is
that?
Cool. Yeah, really awesome. And what a great show. Thanks you for all your phone calls and all your texts. A lot going on here this morning, and if you want to call, you still have time, right, Corey?
Absolutely. There's one way to call in, and that's 213-432-1090. JP standing by. He one open line, so it's all yours right now. Again, 213-432-1090. Having fun chatting away, or you can text us via the app. App is a super cool, easy download. Even I can do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Seriously.
And what are we giving away today, Brandon?
Today we're giving away a free trip aboard the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. And what a great prize. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys on that boat are dialed in and super good, and what a mainstay of our industry.
Did you see what they're doing to the boat?
I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So before you mention that, I want to talk about that. But I want to throw in that we're also, thanks to Bill Varney, throwing in a 2024 Bill Varney CCA calendar.
Awesome.
Oh, for the winter.
Yeah, for the winter.
So
you get
cool.
So you get the San Diego trip and the Bill Varney calendar, because we were just talking about the calendar.
How about that?
And thanks to Bill for giving that away. Yeah. So what's going on in San Diego?
I'd rather Boog kind of give us the rundown, but from the picture I saw, they're putting a pretty darn cool bait tank on there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The new digs, man. Can't wait to see the finished
product. So he's kind of in his maintenance period right now?
Yeah. It's an incredible-looking tank. I mean, it's so crazy because I'm into artificials, right? But my whole life was around bait, and I mean, I see that. I get all fired up.
Yeah,
seriously. Yeah. I mean, it's really the last thing I want in my life, but it's amazing looking.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's cool. So we'll look for him to probably come back online after the first of the year or something like that.
Yeah. You know, with that being prefabbed, kind of done in a yard and having it transported to the boat.
So the boat's still in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
Yep.
So got a great text here, and he didn't put his name, which please put your name, and normally I wouldn't read it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to call him Farmer John.
Okay.
Just because you'll understand after I call him Farmer John.
Okay.
What the heck. Good morning, Pete, gents. I've been listening to you since the beginning. Coffee and hookup are my weekend mornings since I used to listen to you while driving tractors out in Imperial Valley. Hey, what's your recommendation for a rod and reel and line combo to target local bluefin in the 30 to 80 pound range? I want to pick up a couple of rigs to take to my sons out and do it more often. Thanks again for all you do. Love the show. Brandon, that's you, man.
Yeah, well,
that's what you do every day.
Certainly. And,
right?
And that specific rod and reel could be any number of rods and reels.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous amount of quality options out there today.
What about like on the price on the lower end?
On the lower end, you know, these days, Shimano is making arguably the best lower end lever drag two speed, and that is the Speedmaster. The Speedmaster lever drag two speed. It really is awesome, and for a low amount of money, a guy can get a quality lever drag two speed reel and catch, you know, a 30 to 80 pound bluefin with kind of ease, you know, with having that lower gear. But yeah, if you were to go out and purchase yourself a Shimano Speedmaster 12 two speed and an appropriate either 7, 7.5, or 8 foot, call it roughly a 40 pound rod.
Uh-huh.
Manufacturer, you know, you could go a lot of ways because there's so many options that are quality. But if I got to choose, if you gave me my number one pick, I would choose a CalStar 700 Heavy. A CalStar 700 Heavy.
Love that rock.
And a Speedmaster 12 two-speed. Ooh. Fill it up with 65-pound Power Pro. And that's kind of your jack-of-all-trades, do-everything, local bluefin rod and reel.
The CalStar 700H,
yeah.
The thing about that is it's got the backbone to pull.
Sure.
If that thing is an 80-pounder
sure.
instead of a 40-pounder,
yeah.
you can still pull on that fish, right?
Yeah, if you hook a 100-pounder, you're not undergunned.
Yeah.
It is the appropriate rod. And with that particular rod, I often suggest it to people, you're always going to need it. It doesn't matter if you're going on a three-quarter-day boat. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're going on a five-day trip, a 15-day trip. You're always going to have that rod with you regardless of your
So it'll
trip.
Be a part of your arsenal
always,
in
yeah.
many different arenas.
Yeah, and for guys, you know, especially like he was talking about, potentially, let's say hypothetically, this is their first tuna rod and reel. Start with quality. If you start from the beginning with quality, with each additional piece you add to your arsenal, to your lineup, that rod will last you a lifetime, you know, and that will always come into play.
Yeah, for sure. So what are you going to put on it line-wise? That 12, Speedmaster 12?
Line-wise, you know, you could go a lot of directions. I think the appropriate size line would be 65-pound Power Pro. Now,
okay.
some guys want to fish a monofilament top shot. Some guys want to go straight to fluorocarbon, and that's all personal preference. There is no right or wrong answer to that, but in my opinion, my preference would be fill it with 65-pound Power Pro. And if you do that, you make your rod and reel more versatile. With that same rod and reel, I could fish 30-pound, I could fish 40-pound, I could fish 50. If in a pinch I went on a day-and-a-half trip and the whole boat is getting bent on knife jigs at night, I could use a small knife jig and use that. Is it the appropriate rod and reel for that? Absolutely not, but you could do it.
But it worked. But it would
work for sure.
Right. Great answer, man.
Yeah, some good info.
Yeah, some good info for sure. Well, let's jump into the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Ryan? Ryan, calling from Irvine. Appreciate you joining us this morning, Ryan.
Hi, good morning, guys. In the beginning of the show, you guys were going into swordfish, and I've never really gone swordfish fishing before, but I'd like to know, what's the, like, how do you guys go about finding them? Do you set up on a bank? What are you checking on the meter? How deep you are exactly? Please go into detail about that.
Well, That's a great question, and a lot of guys are curious about that same thing. I am also curious about that same thing, but typically in my experiences in the past, we've gone to pick a bank. You know, it doesn't...
The 14-mile bank up there, the 9-mile bank down here, and there's five other banks between here and there.
Sure.
And everybody seems to stack up on the 9.
Yeah.
But
because it's so close.
The one bite I got... That I did get after the 8 or 10 times I went was nowhere close to the 9 mile.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was outside.
Typically, I've only ever fished the 9
because it's so close.
It's so close.
Yeah,
it's
inconvenient. But there's plenty of other banks. And not being commercial, if you're not using an electric reel, you can fish Mexican waters.
Oh, okay.
And there's lots of banks down
there.
You just can't fish an electric reel in Mexico.
I didn't know that law.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No electric reels in Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the most important...
Why? Who the heck knows? Why do they have a two-fish limit on Dorado, right?
Yeah.
But
knows.
Whatever, it's Mexican
law. Yeah.
And we abide by their law, right?
And one of the most important things when you are targeting swordfish and looking for it, from what I've been told, is you got to spend some time looking. You know, you drive around that bank, you drive to one edge of the bank, to the maybe the sloping or the downsloping edges of the bank, and what you're looking for is a feed layer, you know. And
they call it the DSL,
the DSL.
The deep scattered layer. Yeah, and so that's comprised of microscopic organisms. It could be
krill.
Little squid, krill, and it's just a bunch of. And it's, I've seen it before when we were fishing bait. That DSL would come up to the surface at night, so it comes up to the 20 to 40 fathom level.
Gotcha.
During the day, that stuff doesn't want to be eaten and caught, so it sinks down to that 650 to 800 foot level.
Wow. And it could be a mixture of anything?
I've talked to 10 different people, and you get 10 different responses. But when we fished bait at night, it was krill and little squid, and it's think of like the rockfish that grow up on kelp patties offshore, right? So it's that, it's the whole ocean that is growing up in its microscopic form, And when it gets bigger, it goes in different directions.
Hmm.
The squid goes to the coast. The little rockfish go to the bottom.
Well, how cool.
Yeah. So that's what it's...
That's what the deep scatter layer is.
Yeah. So then you get the bigger squid that come and feed on that stuff.
Sure.
And then what follows that?
Yeah, the swordfish.
Yeah. That's why they're in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's way more to it than the three of us in here. Even.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
There's a lot to it. But finding that deep scatter layer and then getting your bait just below it.
And
right?
Maybe more importantly with that deep scattered layer, when you're looking around, you may easily find that deep scattered layer. It oftentimes is a huge area of
it's
that.
Prolific.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's kind of everywhere around a bank at times, But when you start driving around and you start seeing it ball up and get really tight together and the color on your machinery is red, and it gets a deeper red, like it's scared bait. Anytime you drive over scared bait, it doesn't matter if you're largemouth bass fishing, if you're fishing for yellowtail, or if you're fishing for swordfish, it's all the same. If you're seeing balls of scared bait, that's probably a good place to present something.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. So speaking of electric, Rockhard Rick is listening with the babies in Dallas, and he said that, like indeed like Johnny White said, the Hooker Electric as well as the Lingard Pittman are both either 12 or 24 volts, so you can run them off your batteries. You don't need 110 power, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And you don't need an inverter too. Now, speaking of squids, you guys, I know Dana Landing sells a lot of those squids. You sell squids.
Sure.
They're like the Calcutta squids or whoever makes. I don't know who makes.
Well, we sell a couple of different brands.
Yeah.
Currently, we have a local guy who's making. I'm just spacing on his name right now, but
right.
We also have Baitmasters out of Florida that we sell that come rigged. There's a new gentleman in town who's hand rigging them one at a time, and he's using slightly larger squids, and we just got a huge batch from this particular guy, and he's rigging them very cleanly. We're really digging what he's doing.
Yeah, so that sounds cool. And you sell those at
Fisherman's we do at Fisherman's Landing. Yeah,
yeah.
We have a freezer full of them right now.
A freezer. Okay.
Yeah.
So and they're fully pre-rigged. All you have to do is
hook them up.
Hook them on your rig, and you're in town. You're in the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put them on there with a swivel, if so be.
Yeah. How much does that cost?
Well, it depends. It depends on the rigging. It depends on the hook that goes with it. But roughly, let's call it $50.
$50 goes good. Now, there is an more inexpensive way to do that. You can go to 99 Ranch and buy some of those big squids and rig it yourself. There's a video that I did with Greg Stotesbury on my boat on our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show YouTube channel, that he shows you how to rig the squid. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's relatively simple. But is your rig going to be as sano clean as... that rig? No.
Maybe not.
But let me ask you.
But
let me ask you this. Does it need to be?
No, I don't think
so. Hard to say.
Hard to say. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, how much is that big hook that you're going to put on it?
Typically, if you were going to use a stainless one, it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of
$10.
$10.
So you're probably going to have $20 into it rather than $50 into
it,
but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
And there is some skill to it.
Yeah.
So, but can it be done? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So you have a good text, huh, Tori?
I do.
Yeah.
Let's see here. There's been a really good number of them, actually.
Yeah.
So
we're grateful for all our callers.
I know. It's so cool, and it's all done via the app, and it comes from Mike and Rosemead, and Mike says, 2 hours isn't enough time. Good morning, guys. Is the bluefin tuna being the primary game in town? Do you think the yellowtail fishery has declined?
That's a good question.
And they aren't as abundant as in the past? The counts haven't been like they would, like they used to be. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was not a great... I didn't have a great yellowtail this year, right?
Yes, but there's so many layers to that onion. You know, like Mother Nature throws us a curveball every year, and she gives us... She provides whatever she provides.
Yeah.
But then there's also the factor of all of our typical full-day boats that typically would be fishing the Coronado Islands every day and giving us a good,
pulse of what's going on.
Would be essentially be letting us know how good the yellowtail fishing is.
And I was thinking exactly that.
Yeah.
The Liberty and the San Diego both, out of 100 days, fish the islands maybe 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
they spend our tuna fishing has been so phenomenal.
So good,
they spend the vast majority of their time offshore looking for tuna. And so... We don't get a great pulse on what's happening at the islands. Now, some of the private boat guys had phenomenal years.
La Jolla?
And yeah. La Jolla had a very good year.
The half-day boat was getting 20 to 30-pound fish just in the last month.
Yeah, beautiful grade of fish. So it's hard to say that the yellowtail fishing is in decline. I think more our focus is so offshore at the tuna that we don't maybe notice what's coming up the line on the coast. That being said, did we have banner yellowtail fishing? Certainly not. You know, we didn't. But there was a lot of quality fish caught this year.
And Ekstrom, Tim mentioned yesterday that there's some good yellowtail fishing down on the beach, and they're three-day leaving this Wednesday. That's 7 open spots, Pete. Can you believe it?
Ooh,
I know,
yeah.
Right? If you want to get on a trip. He was talking about fishing yellowtail possibly on the beach and then fishing the bluefin outside of that, like getting the same combo in that 3 days.
And like he was telling us yesterday, they're also catching big yellowtail at Tanner. You know, the gentleman that just got off of, the Tribute this morning, they had a few yellowtail on that trip. And typically those Tanner Bank yellowtail are big, big, healthy fish. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to see that Coronado Island stuff
come. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Right?
Nice springtime yellowtail. Well, let's find out what's biting. Our FishDope.com reporter is standing by.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns, plus with Fish Pros and Market. You can purchase their famous spices, rubs, or poke kits. Stop by their location in Old Town or on Taylor Street, or you can order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And be sure to make your reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. And Pete, I don't know if you caught it, but Tim yesterday was talking about a totally different revamped reservation system coming.
Yeah, I heard it.
Currently, you want to text.
Yep.
But in the very near future, by the first of the year, he said, hopefully they're in a totally different program.
Yeah, the new Fisherman's Presence.
I know.
Oh, how about that? Good morning, Captain Dave.
Hey, Pete. Welcome back. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Brandon and Corey, always good to listen to you guys. Real quick, I just wanted to talk about what the gentleman was saying about yellowtail, then we'll get into the report. If you remember back in May and June, we were all talking about how phenomenal that kelp patty yellowtail fishing was. We were like blown away.
Yeah.
And if you don't have those guys, if you don't have Booger and the boys down there looking at the Coronados, you really don't know what's there, because those guys are so good with the sonar. So that bluefin is the only reason why we're not catching that yellowtail. It's there. And we had epic yellowtail fishing down here at the Cape last year, and that fish just swims right up into Southern California. So there's no shortage of fish, gang. No shortage of fish.
That's a good thing. Right?
Leave that thought out of your mouth. Don't even say that. There's way too many people listening.
Yeah.
So Sunday I was on the show with Corey, and I was going out on the Clemente to go fishing, Pete. I brought my grandson up there, and I flew up to go fishing with my grandson. And my son goes, Dad, isn't your skiff running? And I said, yes. He goes, well, let's not go on the Clemente with 50 people. Let's go on the skiff. I was like, all right, I'd love to. Corey, we fished the pipe in front of Dana Point Harbor in 42 feet of water. In an hour, my grandson had a limit of bass. He had a sheep head, 8-pound sheep head.
Wow.
My son had 7 bass up to 5 pounds, all on the fly line sardines. Man. After 1 hour, my grandson was done. He couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't turn the handle.
Cool.
His last fish, he had to use 2 hands to turn the handle because he couldn't do it anymore, and we were done.
Oh. Captain Dave still has it.
I know it. That's good time.
So it was so good, Pete, that I stretched my time up in Southern California out another day, and I fished the next day on my skiff with one of my buddies, and it was just unbelievable fishing at Dana Point. Full speed calicos. The water's beautiful, and it was all you want. And I have some reports from some guys that are fishing the beach that said the calico bass fishing is as good as it is in the spring right now. So like Brian Woolley was saying, the weather's just been epic. It's just been phenomenal. And Catalina, now you got that tuna out on the Tanner. There's just so much to do, gang. There's no reason to put your fishing poles away. It's time to go fishing. Everything's biting again. I mean, tuna, there's yellowtail at the islands. There's really good halibut fishing. What's amazing is we talked about it last year around this time, the halibut fishing was really good. Well, it's really good again. I don't think they left. I think they were there where there was just too many options, just like this yellowtail. So there's really no reason to not go fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know that you heard, Dave, big, big thing happening now at fishdope.com. New members that use the code HOOKUPNOW get $30 off your first year membership because the new price starting January 1st is $199. We went from $169 to $199, but you can steal that new member code, hook up now, all lowercase, no space, $30 off. Plus, if you log into your account and renew right now for another year, you get that old price all the way through December 31st. So you want to renew your membership to fishdope.com no matter when it expires in 2024, you can renew it now and add an extra year for that discounted price, $30 off. So, and Dave, how do we find you?
Well, speaking of fish dope, I look at it every single day, maybe two or three times a day, gang. So if you're thinking, is it a good deal? It's an absolute phenomenal deal. So make sure you jump on that before Ollie and the boys raise the prices at the first of the year. Check me out at Your Saltwater Guide, gang. If you're tired of following boats, you can check out my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I will talk to you guys next Sunday. Thank you, Pete.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Dave. Always great to hear from you for sure. Let's jump back in the phones, guys.
Let's do it. How about Hills? Hills calling from Ventura. Appreciate you joining us this morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys. Do you have me?
Yeah, we do.
Hello?
Good morning.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Good morning, Brandon. Because you guys are some of the world's best fishermen, and Brandon was said that's true by Rick Maxis, so we know that's true. But I want to ask you guys, as some of the world's best fishermen, what is your strategy on your drag when you're out fishing tuna? Because back in the day, they used to say, never touch your drag and stuff. But I asked the deckhand to check my drag, you know, when I'm pulling on one because I'm like, oh, am I okay, you know? But what do you guys have a strategy on drag while you're hooked up to a tuna or when you're going to fish?
Well, that's a great question, and I hope you realize the great fisherman comments by Rock Cut Rick are certainly tongue in cheek.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. You are the world's greatest.
Yeah, okay.
Fisherman.
Well,
we all know already established
it.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody likes to bust my chops a little bit, and I deserve it. I have it coming for sure. But when it comes to drag while you're tuna fishing, my theory behind it is you should have set your drags. You should have asked a deckhand before you ever hooked one of those trophy tuna that you're shooting for, but when you are attached and you do get your bite, you're kind of you should settle into the confidence of you had your drag set right, and when that fish has taken its first initial run, maybe even secondary run, and you feel like you don't have enough drag applied, well then once it's done with its fast-paced strip of your drag, then you could start adding pounds. You know, you could start, if it was a star drag reel, you could give it a couple of clicks. If it's a lever drag, you could start pushing it up a little bit more. But guys get panicky. You know, they get overly excited and they want to lock up their drags, go to full, you know, very quickly in the fight because they're concerned about their line capacity. And in today's day and age with braided line like Power Pro, yet you should have plenty of volume of line on your reel, and there's no reason to be overly concerned about it taking it all. So let the fish get settled in, and if you feel like your drags are too light, then you can apply some more drag once that fish is calmed down later.
So the worst thing you can do is what you're saying is like apply drag immediately when he's on that first or second run.
Sure, and guys get so excited. Yeah. It doesn't matter if a tuna is 20 pounds or 200 pounds, it's going to take some time to land that thing.
Right.
Just settle in. It's a tuna. Yeah. Breathe through your nose. Be calm, and things will work out in your favor.
Yeah. No, that's very good advice. Now, what happens when on that first or second run, that fish is just dumping your reel?
Sure.
Is there a way to stop that fish?
Well, you could see, you know, there are techniques that you could use to slow it down. You know, certainly if it's up high in the water column, let's say it's some somewhere near the surface and strip and drag at such a dramatic pace that you're worried about running out of line, you can lift your rod tip, which I've seen Rock Cod Rick do on many long range trips, lift your rod tip way up high, you know, get it well up above your head as high as you can, and just kind of lean back on it, and that will oftentimes calm it down or slow it down.
Put more of a bend in the rod.
That's exactly what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. Let your rod do the work.
Let your rod do your work, but try to pick up as much line off the surface of the water.
Off the surface.
Off the surface of the water and get more of a direct connection between you and that tuna. Uh-huh. Oftentimes that will be enough to slow its run down.
All right.
Sometimes it's not, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's. But I've seen that happen, you know, like somebody taught me a long time ago. It's like, just bring that reel right into your chest and just put a bend in that rod and just, like, get the full extent that you can of that rod bent, and that sometimes slows it down.
And there becomes a point of flight, like now we're using the rail, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just let the fish kind of torque itself out while leaning on the rail.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a similar situation.
Totally.
You know, when the fish is more up and down.
And if you ask yourself how many times in your lifetime you've actually been spooled to the bottom of the spool, I'm sure for the vast majority of people, it's little to no time.
Yeah. But it happens fast. It can happen fast.
Yeah. It has happened to me, but very, very few times.
Yeah, for sure. Corey, you land fish like faster than anybody I've ever seen land a fish. And I know you've seen it, Brandon.
Yeah,
it's like this guy can pull on a fish.
Well,
and it's like, yeah. I'm like, well, you just hooked that thing. Yeah. Are you kidding me? What's the secret on that?
Well, with you and that yellowfin, I didn't want to give it a chance to turn its head.
Uh-huh.
And actually using the power of the fish is kicking with its power. It literally kicked itself right to the boat. It,
uh-huh.
Just in an outward pendulum of a circle, and it had the fish turned its head.
So you just wouldn't let it turn its head? How do you do
that? Period. End of the story.
How do you do that?
By short pumps. Like, by the longer of a pull you give, you got to come back down with the reel, right? To reel in that line. And in doing so, you're giving the fish the biggest chance of its life to turn its head.
Uh-huh.
And you can't let that happen. Like, I'm an inshore guy, right?
Right.
And I love fishing inshore. The same thing holds true with a calico, a halibut, everything else.
Especially when you hook that big calico on the rocks, right?
You use their power to get the momentum and the angle toward the boat.
Yeah.
If you give it even a half a second and give it a chance to turn its head, it's all working against you.
Yeah.
The tail's looking at you. The head's pointed against, you know, away from you. It's the same thing with the tuna, you know. And if you can muster and get it to the boat quick enough, I mean, it might be a little hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're going to subdue it.
Are you fishing a super tight drag?
Well, like Brandon mentioned, you start out with it in a relatively, you know, decent position. And if you can see that you've got the chance to overcome the fish, buckle it down, man.
Like, and there's another layer to that onion as well. It's also what's on the business end of your rod and reel, you know. So in that
leader,
the leader is an important factor, but the the lure or the bait that you're presenting plays a big factor into that. Like the specific situation that you're talking about, you were fishing a lure with two treble hooks on it.
Yes.
You know, and my theory is if I'm presenting a lure, especially to like a foamer, let's say, and it's got two treble hooks on it, and a fish gets that, well, I'm in the driver's seat. You know, I should be pulling pretty aggressively because those treble hooks are helping me, are helping my cause to hurt that fish and win the battle in my favor.
Yeah.
Now, if I were to present into that same foamer just a fly line bait with a single circle hook, that little circle hook in the corner of their mouth doesn't do a tremendous amount of damage to them. It's not doing much.
A little different.
So in that instance, you shouldn't be pulling out of your shoes. You should let that fish do what it's going to do and just settle into the fight. And then when it's time to get your line, you'll know it. The fish will tell
Brandon,
you, by the way.
You know that's not my style, man.
Yeah, it is not your style. It is not.
But backing up there, that's a lot of times how people pull hooks, is they pull too hard on that single hook, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can happen,
right?
Even with a circle hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So is that what you're saying? Is that yeah. if you pull too hard, you're going to pull hooks?
Yeah, you just got to consider what's on the end of your rod.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's good advice.
If it's a lure with a treble hook, you know that treble hook is grabbing it and likely two or three different places.
Yeah.
And you can really put the wood to it. And you know, if the longer the battle goes with a lure, you don't know how well they got it. You know, they may have it in the side of the face, the corner of the mouth,
right.
deep down the throat. You may have a short window to land that fish, so you should be pulling. You should be really pulling. But with a circle hook, you know where it's going to be, and it's not doing much to it. Settle in. Relax.
Yeah. And you don't have rocks to get into.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Right.
The situation I had, not this last season, the season before, I had a yellowfin that went straight up and down. I couldn't move it. You know what I did? Instead of letting the fish swim in its own circle, I created the circle with the boat.
Mm. Oh.
So I led it like a puppy dog on a leash and kept
the boat in gear.
And listen to me. It planed it up. Just imagine like flying a kite.
Right.
Interesting.
And you reel the kite into the boat.
Well, that's
all by myself.
That's the methodology that a lot of the guys fishing big fish use, big bluefin use, is they keep the boat in gear and kind of puppy dog the fish, right?
Plane it up.
I was going to say, the only time I've ever seen that technique used is in Panama. And it's like, to me, that seemed like a Panamanian technique that they often, if you hooked a big one on a popper, a big tuna on a popper, they'll just start driving circles around it until they force it into to their own circle.
And see, that's exactly what I did. You know what? I really don't know what I'm doing offshore, but I know just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
All right, hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 and at Let's Talk Hookup app.
Hey, everyone. James Holst here with Norsk Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at Norsk Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest-lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36 volt, and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all Norsk Lithium marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service both before and after the sale. It doesn't matter if you're looking to upgrade your current batteries tomorrow or a year from tomorrow. We're here to answer your rigging questions to get everything set up right the first time. Find us online at norsklithium.com. That's norsklithium.com. Or call us at 831-232-9063. Or to see Norsk Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood and have Nick Wayne walk you through why Norsk Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing through the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Long range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body. When throwing jigs, the Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability. You'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and I have to say this is one of the funnest shows, man.
Yeah,
this is just super talking fun and
hanging out with
time.
You guys, and you and I together have not done it.
We've not done it yet.
So this is our first time.
Yeah,
so much fun having.
Yeah, I'm getting to watch the master
really,
at work.
Oh, come on now, you're getting there, man. Look, Corey, look away, Corey. Corey, how long have you been doing this?
I don't know. I mean,
Four or five years, I think. Six. But hey, look what a master he is.
Ricky's been here for 30 years, and you're the upcoming guy, man.
Pete, anybody that knows me knows I get sweaty palms being around and speaking and, you know, being in front of people and a mic in front of me for crying out loud. Yeah. But hey,
now look at you.
You pull it out of me.
Exactly. Yeah, come on.
Hey, we were talking circle hooks and all. And
I just wanted to mention, if you guys like to fish for tuna, and if you are not using Gamagatsu hooks, you're missing bites. The Nautilus circle hooks come in sizes as small as number 4, which is tiny, all the way up to a size 6-0. And for big fish, the Nautilus HD is tough enough, but not oversized. Both come with ring or no ring options. Your local dealer... check with your local dealer or come down to your local tackle shop or check Gamagatsu.com. They have all their products on there.
Great stuff and a great supporter for Let's Talk Hookup. And we thank Gamagatsu and all the guys up there for helping us out be better fishermen, for sure.
I think Gamagatsu for making the best weedless hook for my 5-inch.
There you go.
I know it.
That's the one you use, right?
It's the hook.
What size?
7-0
Gamagatsu.
There's two weighted increments, 3/8 and like a quarter, something like that. The heavier one for sure.
The heavier one.
Yes.
So the quarter.
No, three eighths.
And nobody makes a small tuna ready hook like Gamagatsu. They make the smallest of all the tuna ready circle hooks.
Yeah, and that Nautilus, as long as you don't use Nautilus Light, use the regular, Nautilus,
the regular Nautilus,
like the number 4, man. Yeah. That's
tiny.
It's tiny, but it's strong. I've got big fish on that thing.
You know what the tiny, thin wire Gamagatsus were good for, the circle hooks?
Hmm.
Whitefish fishing.
Okay. Whitefish?
Yes. Huh. Little strip of squid. When you get the little...
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it to them. You literally, like, bow the rod a foot, come up slightly, and you're on.
Really?
Yes. If you're into whitefish... Give it a try.
Yeah, you like eating whitefish?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Just got to watch those gills, right?
Yeah.
Man, they're sharp.
Well, they don't call them razor gills for nothing.
Is that what they are? Hey, I have a great text here from Daniel in Santa Barbara. He says, hello, gentlemen. I've got a Tranx 500, one of our favorite reels, and I'd like to get a jig stick for it. I was thinking about a GG 6480. What do you recommend? Or would you recommend different model, what length, et cetera?
So I would say for most guys, that GG 6480, which is an 8-foot, 40 to 50 pound rod made by CalStar, is a good, appropriate rod. Now, if Rick was here, he would be laughing at me. To me, in my mind, an 8-foot rod, you can't call it a jig stick because it's not a jig stick. It's an 8-foot bait rod. Yeah. But I would say for the vast majority of anglers, it is a perfect all-purpose 8-foot do everything rod, and if you pair it with a Tranx 500, which is super versatile, you could do so many number of things with that rod and reel. Now, if you wanted a true jig stick and it's only ever going to fish a lure of some sort, I think you should go a little longer. I think you should go to a 9-foot rod. In my personal preference, I'd go to a 10, but I shouldn't push that on other people.
Yeah.
A 9-foot rod is more than enough rod for the vast majority of people. And if you wanted to stay in that same line, CalStar makes a GG 6490 that they now offer a reel seated version of that rod, which is kind of a new thing to the market.
Okay.
And it pairs with a Tranx 500 perfectly. Okay. You don't have to buy an aftermarket clamp that may cost you upwards of $100. The reel seat, super convenient. And then if you wanted to maybe put that Tranx 500 on a different rod at a later date, that reel seat makes it very easy to swap in and out.
Yeah. I like that Terramar 9-foot.
Oh,
I'm not sure which one that is. It's a Shimano Terramar.
I think it's the 98.
98,
yeah.
Yes. That. I mean, even for an old guy like me, I can throw that thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Due to the graphite in there, it makes it super lightweight.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very lightweight rod and comfortable to fish all day long and not get, you know, fatigued.
And price point on that rod's pretty
good. Great.
It's
great. Yeah, it's a value.
Yeah.
For sure.
That, to me, that 8 to 9 foot, 8 foot is so much more friendly. Like, Brandon's still young.
Yeah.
He's talking 10 foot.
I know.
Hey,
he has old dreams.
He has yet to reach that stack. apparatus where he's like, you know what? A 9-footer will do the same job and it'll help me pull on fish. And the older you get, it might be an 8-footer.
Most people hate my fishing tackle because it's all long rods, super noodly, you know, and they're right for me. I would never push that on anybody else. That's just my personal preference. But everybody has their own personal preference, and there is no right or wrong answer. You like what you like and fish it.
Yeah. So, Brandon, I know you are an incredible freshwater bass fisherman. I don't know that you do trout or anything. I know you're a big-time saltwater guy. What is your passion? What is, like, I want to go do this? What is the thing that Brandon just kind of dreams about?
I love it all. You know, I would say that bass fishing for me is like meditation.
It is
my break from the world. Freshwater bass fishing, you're going to the lake, being by yourself. That is like Corey said about fishing the kelp. It's kind of like it's peaceful for your soul. It is meditation. It's peaceful for your well being.
Mental yoga.
It really is. Yeah. And bass fishing is that for me now. I do probably more saltwater fishing in a given year. I do more saltwater because that's where I make a living, and that's and I love it as equally. But to me, it's not nearly as peaceful for me. That's more of an intense, like, let's have some success, let's do some killing today, you know. It's a more intense thing, so you're not as at peace. So I would say I love it all, but if I had to choose one for the rest of my life, it's freshwater bass fishing.
Okay, that's cool. What's it going to be like, and you know Brandon way better than I do, what's it going to be like to have Brandon have a fly rod in his hand at Katmai Lodge in July?
And
pulling on a big trout or pulling on a big salmon on a fly rod?
He's totally going to take to it.
I think he's going to go crazy.
100%.
I've never done it, and I'm looking so forward to it. It's such a departure from anything I've done in my lifetime.
And that's kind of what it is. It's totally different, but it's so cool, you know? And that's the cool thing about fishing is there's so many different entities of fishing, whether it's in the saltwater doing bass, tuna, wahoo, marlin, whatever, or in freshwater, you're fishing trout or bass, right?
And another cool aspect to that, the last 2 years, I've been so fortunate to go up to Southeast Alaska with you guys to go fish out of Sitka and Kingfisher Lodge, and those were two of my favorite trips I've done anywhere, anytime in my life. They were truly special trips, but now you're going to give me the opportunity to potentially go next year to a different part of Alaska and do something so different, you know?
Totally different.
Same state, so different.
Are there any open spots on that trip?
Charmel told me that some of the guys haven't put their deposits in. So she was saying they either put up or shut up. So if you're interested in doing that trip with Brandon Harold Davis, give Charmel a call in the Katmai Lodge app. It's katmai.com, and call Charmel and go, hey, put me on that wait list. One of those deadbeats don't put their deposits in there. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that's going to be cool. I'm so excited for you to have that experience. Now, speaking of Southeast Alaska and Kingfisher Charters, I know you've been there several times, and it's such a different departure. You had a text from somebody about Queen Charlotte Safaris, right, and how it differs from Southeast Alaska.
I do, and it came from, for the name, was there not a name? Huh. Anyway, you can see the gentleman or lady says, considering fishing a Queen Charlotte Safaris, how does it differ from Southeast Alaska, which has tremendous beauty in its own? And in 3A, I assume that's a zone in Alaska, 3A, we can keep a halibut of any size, and how big can we keep in Canada? And it didn't include his or anything.
So I've been to both, and I know you. There's nothing like Kingfisher Charters as far as if you want to fish
a big
saltwater
halibut
fishing, lingcod, salmon, et cetera, and the open ocean. It's an amazing,
incredible,
and from a value standpoint, I mean, he's still at like $32.95 for a 3-day, 4-night trip. The lodge, the accommodations, the meals, everything, fantastic. It's great. On a guided trip in Alaska, you cannot keep anything over the size limit unless it's like a giant.
Sure, like a 300-pounder.
Yeah, so whatever the slot limit might be, 40 or 40
1 inches or whatever.
Does that change from year to year? Or how does
if you're on a guided trip, if you're on a self-guided trip, you can keep a...
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can keep halibut of any size, and I'm not sure what the number is, but it's only on a self-guided trip. But on any guided trip, you can't do that. There may be some parts of Alaska, like maybe up near Anchorage or something, where you can, maybe in the Cook Inlet. I'm not positive about that. But the difference between that and Canada regulations is the Canada... Queen Charlotte Safaris has unbelievable king salmon fishing, as we experienced.
Oh, man.
Way bigger, like bigger fish.
The lingcod fishing?
And year-round. Yeah. And the lingcod fishing is crazy. So off the charts. And you can keep, which you can't in Southeast Alaska, you can keep, is it 3 lings a day, 6 fish limit?
We were, and
any size.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you catch one of those giants that you always have to put back.
You can keep it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you can kind of tailor, like, 15, 18. Now we'll let this one go. Let that one go. Oh, 25. Okay, I'll keep this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, and those things are fun to catch.
I have to say this. The lingcod locally are very good eating.
Yes.
But I'm not into them.
Yeah, me either.
The lingcod from up there, it was like a true... fatty cod, it's a completely different lingcod.
But halibut fishing at Queen Charlotte Safaris, it's okay. You know, you catch your chicken size, your keeper size halibut that you would in Kingfisher, but you don't have the shots at the big giants like you do at Kingfisher Charters because they don't anchor.
Okay.
They drift fish,
okay,
and that's tough when you're not betting that scent trail out
but
there.
But it's really, it's not the primary catch,
It's not.
It's part of the catch.
Yeah. The primary catch at Queen Charlotte is the incredible salmon, king salmon fishing and the incredible lingcod and rockfish fishing that to me is like so much more exciting.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
I love it.
Yeah. So they both have, and he's talking about the beauty of Southeast Alaska. Southeast Alaska is an incredibly beautiful place overall, but I have never seen a more beautiful place than those Queen Charlotte Islands.
Wow.
Which are only 60 miles away from Southeast Alaska.
Okay.
So it's basically the same, but it's because it's so untouched.
Hmm.
There's nothing there.
I think the tip of Haida Gwaii is less than 60 miles from Southeast
Alaska. So it's basically the same zone.
And we're
beautiful.
Queen Charlotte is, you go through this cut to 18 miles of just, it's so calm and peaceful, and you come out on the west side, the opposite side of the island, and if there's any kind of weather, you fish in the tight, secluded little coves.
Well, that's amazing.
Trust me, there's so many
wonderful places to go fish. The fortunate thing is we all love to fish.
Yeah.
Just go have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of going, let's go on the tribute with Captain Mike right now. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Great. And the beat goes on, huh?
The beat still does go on, even after Turkey Day. Like, we just got in this morning, a day and a half trip. Okay, fishing. It was good in the afternoon. We had a good morning shot. Checked out a little bit different area. Ended up with 27 bluefin, 7 yellowtail, and a couple of handfuls of bonito. But the opportunity was definitely there. We had some anchor fishing with a lot of current, which, you know, dealing with a big group of people, definitely it's gonna test your ability to fly a line of bait. But we did have some guys that really stood out, I mean, as far as being able to get bit. But that, it's still there. We had fish up to about 50 pounds, yellowtail up into the low to mid-20-pound range, and very, very nice weather, huge groundswell. I posted a video of us sitting just up swell of the Ranger 85 where, you know, 20 seconds would go by where you couldn't see the boat at all, which is saying something. It's
a
big boat.
Yeah, that's like, wow. Big groundswell.
You know, and it's, you know, people were asking, well, how can it be that rough with no wind? And it's not rough. It's just, I mean, if you're a fan of the water, which I definitely am, I love bad weather. I mean, I don't like working in it, but it wasn't bad weather at all. But you want to see just a huge groundswell. Like, I would imagine Cortez, which we didn't get to, but I would imagine it's breaking, and it's probably somewhat impressive.
Woo!
Yeah.
That, you know, it was funny because I was standing up in our wheelhouse, and same thing, you know, big boat high off the water, and there was a period of time where I couldn't see the Rangers, so I went down on deck and got a video and posted it, and it's just, it's neat.
That's pretty cool.
You got to appreciate it.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, are you still running trips, Mike?
We have one left. We haul out December 4th. We're going to be going up to Al Larson's Boatyard in L.A. for our annual inspection. But we do have a trip scheduled for Friday night. As of right now, weather looks like it's going to be good. It's going to be a Pizza Port sponsored trip. We haven't put that on the books yet. But one more trip Friday night, a last chance to fish with us before we do our maintenance for the year. And if not, I mean, there's going to be other guys trying, I think, up and running here. The fish is still there. We saw plenty of it, just trying to get it to bite with. This moon phase might be a little odd, but there's still plenty of it there.
Man, and I got to throw out, great job with Corey and Rick last Sunday on the show. I was down at that Rancho Leonero Fiesta, and you guys killed it, man. That was, thank you, Mike, for interesting show, and thanks for taking the time, and thank you very much for taking all your time that you do with these reports and being a big supporter and help for us here on Let's Talk Hookup. People love it. So if somebody wants to go fishing with you,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, well, keep it up, man, and we do appreciate it. If somebody wants to go fishing with you, how do we get on that last Pizza Port trip out of C4 Sport Fishing?
Friday night, and I do have to throw out, we had bets about you calling in, and we're glad you didn't.
Yeah. Actually, I was fine. We were, but we had to get in the car to the airport, so
I'm sure he was fine.
I was hoping there might have been an extra spicy Bloody Mary involved or something. But if you want to come out and fish Friday night, 619-224-3383. You can book through TributeSportFishing.com, SeaforthLanding.com. And we are, I got pictures up from yesterday's trip on our Facebook and our Instagram page. So it's still good. It was still a very, very fun day, great group of guys. And, you know, you crested the turkey sushi mark, so why not grab some sushi for Christmas?
Absolutely.
For sure. All right, Mike, thanks a lot for all that you do, and we appreciate it. And good luck on that last trip.
All right, good stuff, Mike. Yeah, definitely appreciate it. Good luck next Friday night. And, hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Join Captain Mike Totter, Chef Josh Evans, as a new era begins for Searcher Sport Fishing. Mike and Josh will continue the legacy of excellent customer service, fantastic food, and an amazing crew. Book your fishing adventure now online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia at 619-226-2403. SearcherSportFishing.com, 619-226-2403.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and I think I've said this three times. I'm going to say it the fourth. What a fun time all
that
of us
was
in
super
studio,
fun, man. It's super fun to do it with you guys. I feel honored to be in your presence.
Oh, come on now. It's quite the opposite. But, yeah. Hey, one lucky winner today. Go ahead and flip the coin.
It's going to a caller or a texter. I'm going to flip the coin right now.
Let's do it.
And
texter.
The texter.
Which happens to be?
It happens to be Daniel in Rancho
Cucamonga.
In Santa Barbara.
Daniel in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, sorry.
He's going on a trip aboard the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing. Congratulations.
Yeah, and
Daniel.
He gets a Bill Varney 2024 CCA calendar, which are on sale now at tackle stores and landings everywhere. Mm-hmm. Pick it up. It's like the thing you want to have on your wall.
Absolutely.
It's got the tide charts, it's got the great photos and all that. So.
I've lived by that decades.
Yeah, you and me both, man.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys. Thanks, Brandon. We'll see you today at Fisherman's Landing Tackle. You want to get set up for a swordfish trip?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go see Brandon, right?
Come on down or give us a call at 619-221-8506.
Yeah, Corey, thank you very much. You guys supporting me on that trip back east. And appreciate
so cool.
You being here, Corey. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And, Corey, of course, we'll see you very soon.
Definitely. I am looking forward to next shows.
So next Saturday, Rick will be back. Ron Lane and... we'll be here from Fast Lane Kayaks, and then Bob Hoos on Sunday with Rick and Corey.
That's going to be
fun.
Wonderful.
Thanks to JP for manning the phones. Thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app, and we'll see you right back here next Saturday and Sunday on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app. See you then.